San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good news, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB or tune in radio, you can hear the show as it airs on any device. All these podcasts are commercial-free on iymoney.com, and we are free on iTunes. Now time to introduce the man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire, an accomplished marathon runner, a best-selling author, lecturer, philanthropist, and a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you?
I am great. Just back from New York, where my wife, Mary, ran the New York Marathon on Sunday.
Congratulations.
Had great weather.
Well, a lot went on in New York this week.
It was busy in New York. We left on Election Day.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say there was a couple of speeches this week, and congratulations to all the winners and condolences.
Whoever thought the Cubs would win the World Series and Donald Trump would be elected president within the span of a week.
So, Richard, you've been watching the markets at all. Have they stabilized, and how are you doing?
Oh, I think that they're going to stabilize. Obviously, There was a big drop immediately.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of interesting, I thought. So,
I mean, I think Trump will be good for business.
Oh, I don't know.
When all is said and done.
We could hope. We can only hope. But anyway, look, let's just hope the nation hangs on and does well, and there you have it. So, but gosh, let's get right to our guest.
We got two guests. We got a hustle.
Well, yeah, we've got a veteran from the radio industry. He only spent 22 years of his life in this building, but beloved guy from the days of Hudson and Bauer, and with a long history in radio and media, and of course now off into nice nonprofit ventures as well. But I'd like to welcome to the show, without any further delay, Paul Palmer. Paul, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Good to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, born and raised where, Paul, before we get into your radio career, because it's long and colorful. But
Well, I really born in Pennsylvania and grew up in Maryland, in Columbia, Maryland, right between Washington and Baltimore, and stayed there until I went to KDKA in Pittsburgh when I was about 22 years old.
What was your first gig there?
I was an account executive at KDKA. I worked on the air at WBAL in Baltimore.
Doing what? Music?
I was their first all-night personality. It was a big 50,000-watt blowtorch in Baltimore.
Were you Paul Palmer, or did you have a radio name?
No, I just went by Paul Palmer.
Okay.
Earlier, we used Tall Paul. Okay. That's one of the things about being 6'5". You can call yourself names like that.
Well, at least it weren't RuPaul. So.
RuPaul doesn't do that well on radio, Joe. You've got to see RuPaul.
Anybody who has worked the all-night show knows that getting to work at 10:45 at night and going home at 6:45 in the morning will make you think, maybe I should get into the business side of radio. And that's where I made the shift.
Larry King started like that, I think, overnight, you know, as a youngster in Florida.
But he stayed on the air.
Yeah, he did.
But
he
not
did.
All nights.
But he got lucky, because he his career, he kind of cratered and went, he was a horse player. He went bankrupt, and his career was over at 41, and then he came. It's an interesting thing, but you have to reinvent yourself.
So Paul, how did you find your way to San Diego?
Well, actually, 5 winters in Chicago. I was sales manager at WIND in Chicago. And if you've ever lived in Chicago, commuting to Palatine with two little kids, it was like, this is no way to live.
Oh, my God. And, I grew up there, so I'm still thawing out, and I've been here 40 years. So
actually, it was Westinghouse Broadcasting that owned WIND, and they also owned KFWB in L.A.
Ah.
So KFWB had an announcer strike, after went on strike, and they were looking for management who had been on the air before.
What
so
year
I
was
went
that?
Out and did all news
what
at
year was
KFWB.
That What year was that?
That was 1971.
Ha. Huh. Okay.
Thinking that maybe I would want to move to L.A., and I spent a month in L.A., and I said, uh-uh. And someone said, how about San Diego? I said, where is that? And this is 1971. He said, it's about 100 miles south of here.
Uh-huh.
And I said, isn't that Mexico? He said, no, it's right before you get to Mexico. And I swear, in 1971, I drove down here. Called my wife in Chicago, and I said, I found the place. Now we just have to find a job.
Nirvana, right.
And the next year, in 1972, I was hired as the general manager for KFMB, AM, and FM.
Wow.
And spent 22 years here at the station.
So you were going down to 5th and Ash at that point,
We were 5th and Ash, yeah.
Fifth and Ash.
The big old white building.
Which building was that?
It used to be a newspaper building. I think the San Diego Sun or something.
Fifth and Ash. And
the TV and radio stations were in that Fifth and Ash building.
You go down the hill, Joe, like from 8th.
Yeah, I know where El Cortez is, and then you get down to Fifth. Okay.
There's a parking lot there now.
Oh.
Yeah, no, there is. In fact, I think KFMB still owns that parking lot.
They raised the building, you're saying?
Yeah, they raised the building.
That's where KFMB makes all their money, from the parking.
Actually, I think they do pretty well with the parking.
I'm going to have to check that out. We'll have to talk with Craig Blanke about that.
Right. Well, we worked there. I worked there from 1972 until 1977, and then we moved to this building where we are right now.
And was Craig back there, Craig Blanke, with you back then?
No, Craig came to work with us in the 80s.
In the 80s. Of course, I knew Tom Sidley as well. He was a veteran.
Tom was there. Oh, yeah.
So, you started here 72, you say?
Yes.
Wow. So what were the big shows on for KFMB at that time?
There was nothing on the air at that time. The AM ranked 22nd and the FM ranked 23rd.
Wow!
So we had a real clear, clean slate.
There was local talk shows on back then, or nothing memorable.
The KSDO I think was doing pretty well, but wasn't that much here.
Okay.
Happy Hare was doing the mornings
here,
and we also carried CBS networks.
Okay.
So they would run shows like Your Earth for 5 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And then you would play music. As a matter of fact, in 1972, when I got here, the AM was playing music, and the turntable was playing these 45, remember the 45?
Yes. Justin, you don't know those. Justin.
To tell you how bad it was, the left channel of the stereo did not go out over the air.
Okay.
So I came in to Dan Geis, who was the engineer there. And I said, Dan, I was listening to The Lonely Bull this morning, and I could only hear the crowd noise. I couldn't hear the da-da-da-da-da.
That's a Herb Alpert song for you youngsters out there.
And he said, that thing's been broken for several months. I said, so he got on. He drove to L.A. that day and got the part. Cost like $400. Came back and fixed it. But that's how bad things were. And then
So Hudson and Bauer, when I got here, 70, I mean, those guys were gods. I mean, when did you discover those guys?
Well, we actually started with Charlie and Harrigan.
Okay.
In 1972. And Charlie, whose real name is Jack Woods, and he just passed on a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
He was the main architect of KFMB as a personality station.
Mm-hmm.
And then he and his partner, Harrigan, went to Dallas in 1975, and that's when we brought in Hudson and Bauer.
Were they already a team?
No, they weren't.
Okay.
No. So actually,
how'd you discover those
Hudson
guys?
Hudson was a partner with the Harrigan.
Okay.
It was Hudson and Harrigan in Houston.
Hudson.
So we hired Mac Hudson, and his partner had a child that had an illness that he couldn't move.
Mm.
So I said to Mac, I said, you know, who can we partner you with? So he said, well, here in Houston, Joe Bauer is the only guy that I find really entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
So we hired Joe, and we put them together as a team for the first time here at KFMB.
Boy, did they take off.
And the first 6 months of the show were kind of rough. But once they hit stride, it was, as we used to say, one brain with two mouths. They were just in sync.
Well,
and they were number one for 10 years.
I think they caught on with it. Then the Chargers started doing really great, and they started doing those funny songs and all the stuff. And you guys were carrying the Padres at the time?
We knew we had to get the Padres because our major competition was Kogo.
Okay.
And Hudson and Bauer and Charlie and Harrigan became the number one morning show in about 6 months.
Yeah.
But we knew that we had to get the Padres because at that time there was only 39 games on television.
Huh.
So the radio ratings would explode when you had games on. So you get a couple of games back in Cincinnati at 9 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden your midday ratings went from number 10 to number 1.
Huh.
So we got the Padres in 1979 and then carried them the next 17 years that I was here.
Yeah, so that was kind of a big deal. But Hudson and Bauer were on for many, many years. They were what, 10 to, they were early, 6 to 9?
6 to 10.
6 to 10.
They were the drive time.
Yeah, and then what followed them? You remember?
We had Clark Anthony. He was on with Jeannie Cabot from 10 until 2. And so then Mark Larson. We had hired Mark Larson back in the late 70s.
Yeah, and what was on after
Mark? Mark did afternoon drive, and then we had Bill Balance at night.
Oh, I love Bill Balance.
Bill Balance was a legend in Los Angeles, and he became available. So he actually worked here 15
years. Legendary down here, too, but we can't say why.
Anyway, we're coming up on our break. How about a little music there, Justin? We'll come back with Paul Palmer with these great stories about radio and his current exploits right after this. Hang on. Jump. How about that, Richard?
Hail to the Chief.
We're back with Paul Palmer, who's got a story about that song as well, and with Joe Barr. What's the story on that, Paul?
Well, actually, Joe did a character called Colonel Cuffmub that was really pretty funny.
Supposed to be you, wasn't it?
That was supposed to be a parody on me.
Right.
And that came because when Hudson and Bauer started working here, we needed to create some type of a character for the general manager. So Colonel Cuffmub came up.
Uh-huh.
And the KFMB are hard call letters compared to like Kogo.
Right. Uh-huh.
Kogo, you remember.
Uh-huh.
KFMB, you have to get it right. So uh-huh. they looked at that and they made a word out of KFMB, Cuffmub.
Uh-huh.
So I became Colonel Cuffmub. And when he would come on the air, this was the Hail to the Chief music that they would play when he came in and did the bits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what KFMB stands for? It means for Malin and Brittany or something. It was the son and daughter of the original owners. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, something like that. But did you know that, Richard?
I had heard that.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, you were Colonel Cuffmub. I certainly remember that. And then Bill Balance, I used to get a kick out of that guy. Because he was the first one who started talking. You have women calling and talking about their marital this and that and their personal issues with their spouses. And he had this vocabulary that was out of this world. And these turns of the phrase, I remember he always said, well, you know, what's the matter with him, honey? Did he have a head full of rancid tapioca and stuff like that? I mean, he had these great, hilarious phrases.
He was brilliant. He was a Civil War fanatic.
Civil War nut. I understand his place where he lived was just stacked with books and Civil War paraphernalia.
Yeah,
right?
He was probably the most prepared talent I'd ever seen.
Mm.
He would come in to do a three-hour show at night, and he would spend probably 5 hours making notes and preparing it.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because the year that I was in Los Angeles doing that fill-in news on KFWB, Balance was on, I forget the channel, it was 1010 or something up there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, GMS,
mm-hmm.
KGMB, I think. No, anyway, whatever the call letters were.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the number one show.
Yeah.
It was called The Feminine Forum.
Yeah.
That he did. So it was ironic that 6 or 7 years later, he would come down here and do evenings on KFMB.
And then I actually came here for, there was a taping of a TV pilot with him. They were trying to do a TV show with him, with the women and whatever. And boy, compared to today's loose language, I guess they were taping this thing and he made some reference to breasts or whatever. And they stopped the taping for, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes. And I think we all left. I think there was a big blow up and the thing never went anywhere. Do you remember anything about that?
No, I don't remember the TV. I do know he was controversial with you know, language and content that today you wouldn't even think twice about.
Right.
Yeah, but this was 1972.
No cable back then, folks, right?
Paul,
gosh.
You were also here when B-100 commenced, right?
Yeah, we started the B-100 in 1975,
okay.
And the FM station at 100.7 was music only for a woman, and then it became music for the two of us.
Okay.
But it was an automated station. And Bobby Rich was working with me, and Bobby became the architect of B-100. So we put it on the air in 1975. And within 2 years, it became the number one station in Arbitron 12+. And it was the first major market station in the country with a rock format to become number one in the market.
And the B Morning Zoo, of course.
And the B Morning Zoo, exactly.
How many people were on that particular
show?
Four people.
Four, yeah.
So the iteration now is DSC, which we have here now, another morning team, right?
Yeah.
So how about that?
The B Morning Zoo was on, I believe, from 80, let's see, the station kind of evolved from a rock format into a adult contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then it became Star.
Yeah.
And now KFM.
Yeah.
BFM.
There you go.
And the KFM BFM actually originated from the old B-100 because when they did the legal ID, the FM as a hip rock station did not want to be called KFM BFM.
Mm-hmm.
So Bobby split it so it was KFM
BFM.
BFM.
Yeah.
And now the station is called what it was called in 1975.
Everything goes full circle.
Yeah. As someone once told me, they said, you know, when Jesus comes back to earth,
mm-hmm.
the only thing that he will recognize is the radio promotions.
KFM, BFM, whatever.
BFM, BFM.
But
Paul, you're in your current iteration.
Yes.
You're doing some really cool charity stuff.
We had a little run with Big Brothers Big Sisters,
Yeah,
right?
We did 14 years with Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Mm-hmm. As CEO.
Mm-hmm. And we were able to get a team together that grew that program. We were serving like 180 kids with one-to-one mentors and expanded that to over 1,700 kids.
Yeah.
So I left there in 2014.
Yeah. Well, I want to leave enough time for this National Conflict Resolution Center and all the work you're doing with them and what they do and what you were telling us before we taped. So you want to run through some of that?
Yeah. The National Conflict Resolution Center used to be the San Diego Mediation Center, and we provide pro bono mediation for, like, refugees and veterans and foster kids and homeless. So that's one of the programs, but we also train in communication skills all of the student leaders at UCSD and San Diego State. And that's obviously really important with all the diverse.
Yeah. Can you help married couples with this, too? Can anybody go in here, or you have to have a bona fide conflict with a neighbor or something, or...
It just depends.
Okay.
Because they also have a fee for service, but basically a lot of it is pro bono. And of course, one of the programs I'm really helping them with now, because they also do a lot of work at the police department and the sheriff's department in dealing in communities. And we have several centers that are in areas of the community where they really need to get people together because there's so many diverse opinions and viewpoints. But the avoiding the pipeline to prison is one of my favorite programs because basically it takes high school kids who have committed a crime and aren't really hardened criminals, but they still could be expelled from school and they could end up in juvenile hall. And as we know, juvenile hall is where a lot of kids learn how to do what they need to do to get to prison.
Yeah.
So instead of throwing these kids away, they get to stay in school, but they go through a process that NCRC, National Conflict Resolution Center, facilitates, and it's a mediation-type process where the kids who have committed a crime get with the offended party, and they actually have a communication that they talk this through.
Isn't that great?
And the child, usually 16, 17 years old, apologizes. They make restitution, and they are allowed to stay in school, and their records are clean.
Isn't that great?
And what we found, and this is the really great part of this, is 98% of the kids that go through this program do not commit another crime.
Super.
And they get to stay in school. So and instead of throwing a kid away, they've got that second
chance. So that's ncrconline.com, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the police, the sheriffs, the court system, the unified school district, they're all working with
you. They're all working with us, yeah. As a matter of fact, we launched a center in South Bay, and Bonnie Dumanis was there, and Sheriff Bill Gore. So we have great cooperation from law enforcement.
And I see you're addressing bullying in here, which is always something to be dealt with, right?
Exactly, yeah. And in terms of the conflict resolution, you know, I think the philosophy is there's always a way if people are willing to sit down and talk about it and have an open mind. That you can come to some kind of a resolution. So the mediation technique in making that happen is really significant.
So you have some good success stories out of here, I would say.
Really are, yeah.
You know, what are some of the things you do with the student leaders on the local campuses?
You know, actually, I only sat in on one of those sessions at UCSD, but part of it is creating a circle where you get a lot of diverse
opinions.
You know, attitudes and opinions. And you find out that there are a lot of ways that the people are together more than they're separate. And then also in terms of the art of inclusive communication, there's training in that area. So we have really high qualified trainers that go into both UCSD and San Diego State. And actually, we also train at Arizona State University. And they want to expand it to many, many more students, not just the student leaders.
I know after Columbine, President Clinton got in a high school room got everybody in a circle. It was a very diverse, racially diverse group, and just talked it out. And boy, I was watching that. There was therapy for me because everyone was in such shock after that thing happened. But hopefully, with this great work you're doing, Paul, that those kinds of things will be on the wane and not happen anymore, or at least in a very small amount, right?
Exactly. And we'll have a major event coming up. It's called the Peacemaker Dinner coming up next year. Last year, we honored Richard Dreyfuss, you know. And, of course, he's real concerned about getting civics back in junior high school and high school.
Who's your honoree this year? Do you know yet?
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea, but it's still in negotiation.
Okay.
It's going to be very, very good and very, very interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
So people are going to want to look into that.
We're coming up on our break, though. Paul
Palmer. Welcome back to KFMB.
Yeah, thanks so much
for
being our
here.
Guest. And we'll have you back again. This is really terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you.